Dave, you've just wrapped up a very successful Ohio No-Till Conference where you talked about a lot of different things, including cover crops and no-till.
Yes, sir. We had about 172 or three here today, and our emphasis is on soil health and how to improve the soil by the use of cover crops. Talking about reducing the use of commercial fertilizer or nutrients by using covers, and I think we may have sparked the interest in a few producers.
Take a moment and talk about the use of cover crops in your operation and what it's meant.
Well, we began no-till in 71, began working with rye and hairy vetch covers in 78, mainly because we saw yields decreasing corn after corn and we had to do something. And I didn't have time to do tillage or other things, so we tried the rye and the hairy vetch, and that really has worked. And I don't think there's been a legume or a grass crop that we haven't tried in the 40 years that we've been no-tilling. Presently, we're working real diligently with Austrian winter peas and radishes, precisionally planted like you would do corn, now on 15-inch rows, alternating rows with peas and radishes. And with this arrangement, we are able to save about 70% of our nitrogen costs and about 40% of our nutrient costs for P and K.
Dave, for someone that is just now thinking about incorporating cover crops into the operation, in your mind, what's the biggest obstacle that they need to overcome?
Well, I think, you know, most of these guys are used to looking at a clean tilled field. It's brown. They don't have to make a management decision. When you put a cover crop out there and make it green, they get a little scary, a little woozy in the stomach, you know, and what am I going to do about it? Well, and I think they just miss the fact that we need to get these guys to try it where they're going to grow soybeans, put some rye in the corn fodder in the fall, go in no-till no matter how tall the rye is, and they can see the changes so much quicker with using rye in the rotation to start, and then they get a little more confident, and then they can go to legumes in their for their corn crops for the next year or two.
Are you satisfied with the amount of research that universities and others are doing when it comes to cover crops?
Not really. I've been really disappointed. We've done it 40-some years now, and just the last 5 years is the only time that's really caught fire. And I think brought that on was a high cost of fertilization, plus the cost of the fuel. And universities just haven't grasped the idea of what's going on. I think NRCS has really come on board with trying to understand and promoting it. They've been more active than I think any state university's been around.
Dave, in your travels around the country, when you have an opportunity to talk about cover crops and no-till, what's the message that you like or you want folks to take away?
Well, I want them to take away that we can improve the soil health. I don't really like the word sustainable. I like to say we can be more profitable. And as we reduce our inputs and relying on how we can treat the soil better, lower erosion, we clean up the streams, and I just think it's a win-win for everything that we can do if we can get covers in the rotations and figure out how to do it in a profitable and a timely manner.